We've got a big announcement, girlies.
We're going on tour!
We're going on tour. We're hitting the road, Jack. Woo! So don't you come back no more, no more.
We're bringing our tour, That's Showbiz, all
That's
over
showbiz.
Ireland.
You have to say it like that.
Well, oh, but I That's can't sing.
That's Showbiz.
You have to say it like old-timey American. I'll work on it.
That has to feature in the show.
We're coming to name them.
A city near you. We're going to Cork, Limerick, Galway, Belfast, and Dublin.
Yeah, sorry about the Midlands, but we can't drive and we need to access by train.
We don't really know any of those. Our geography knowledge of that part of Ireland is limited.
But if you want to come see us, go to ticketmaster.ie and get your tickets because they're flying out the door, girls. And our girlies in the UK and Australia, don't worry. Because there's exciting dates coming soon.
Yeah. Keep the eyes peeled. That's
keep
all we'll
the
say
eyes
on that.
And ears or, peeled.
And the ears, because you might hear it on here again.
Do you keep your ears peeled?
Keep the ears clean, I would say.
Anyway,
maybe.
We're waffling.
Anyway, also, link in the episode description on how to get your tickets.
Exactly. See you then.
See you, girlies. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, did I even set up that Zoom meeting all right?
Oh my god, I'm so nervous about that. It'd be grand, will it?
It'd be grand. What if it doesn't record? No, it'll be fine.
Hey mammies, I'm Kevin.
And I'm PJ.
And welcome back to... I'm Grandmam! Woo! Lads, let's not beat around the bush here. We're very excited. We have an iconic guest on. And we just want to start chatting to them straight away.
Yeah, so 2 seconds, let us pop on Zoom.
Lads, this is just proof that you can manifest anything you dream of if you just put it out into the universe.
Yeah, girls, fake it till you make it.
I'm so excited.
Okay, so will we introduce our guest?
Okay, let's. Right, okay. Oh my God. Upon graduating from the Lear Academy in 2017, this person went on to star in a number of glam theatre roles across Ireland and also here in London.
She's international, girlies.
Most recently, he played Mad Podrick in The Lieutenant of Inishmore in the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin. And though you may know him as the actor who plays Conor Waldron in the hit BBC and Hulu series, Normal People, I'm gonna collapse. We like to think of him as the righty fella who has made gas shorts and silver chains a full-blown fetish.
Am I right, girlies? This week's guest is... Paul Mescal.
Alexa, play Chain Reaction by Diana Ross.
Stop. My Alexa's going. Alexa.
Is Alexa's going off?
My Alexa's going.
Drums. Turn her off.
Turn off, girl. Let's get the party started.
Paul, I wish you were here to dance with us.
It's a pure sway thing, isn't it?
Pure sway. I feel like I'm at the fun fair with him.
Oh my god, yeah, like a montage and we're all having ice cream.
5, 6.
Head roll.
Made me
want it. Pop your chest.
I feel under pressure because he's watching me dance. I love that you're up for it.
When does it get to the chain?
I'm totally up for it.
No, we'll have to wait a while.
Forward and back.
Forward and back. Are we doing a bit of a shimmy?
I love that you're joining in.
Is it a bit random? I don't like dancing virtually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, then we're getting nearly there.
Anything for you, Paul.
Ready?
I'm in the middle of a chain reaction.
Okay, I think we can cut it there.
Midnight action.
I think we can cut it there.
Alexa! Stop.
I love the vibrato, Kevin.
Oh my god! Kevin's up in a heat,
no,
lad.
The vibrato is because of the nerves. My vocal cords are quivering.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Paul.
Lad, I'm buzzing. I'm just buzzing. I'm so excited. Nervous.
Oh, thanks so much for coming on. Literally, we're up to 90.
Literally, like, since we found out that this was going to happen, like, I've been a shell of a human. I had to buy CBD oil and all the other day because I was like, I just need to try something to calm the nerves.
Like I said this to you guys when Lara said that she like you guys wanted me on the podcast, it was literally like booking a massive job. I love the show, and I'm not just saying that. I'd say it to Lara. I was freaking out.
Because I know when you first followed us and I saw that someone like with a blue tick and like followed the podcast and you commented underneath one of our videos, I was like, who's this one then? And I saw that it was like Connell in Normal People, but I was like, I hadn't aired yet. So we're like, what's the story here? And I didn't know that it had been made into a series. And now since like it's aired and stuff, you've just gone off completely, haven't you, really?
Yeah, what's it feel like?
Yeah, it's been like, especially the, like, because it's what, 3 weeks on... Sunday that it's today is technically Sunday, but it's actually Friday. But it's been a crazy 3 weeks, like, because I'm isolating by myself.
Yeah.
But kind of weirdly grateful for that, because it kind of lets you just kind of check in with yourself. But it's been so fun. Everyone's been so lovely about it. So yeah, it's just been nuts.
So you're isolating by yourself? So you're like in the place by your, like the apartment by yourself or house? Or I don't know where you live.
No, I'm in East London, Lydia, in a flat by myself. Only around the corner.
It's going to be so handy for when like we're set free and we can like hang out and
Calm down, Kevin.
I feel like, obviously PJ's here, so I don't want to make you feel awkward, but it's kind of, when you think about it, a first date scenario-ish, hypothetically.
Yeah, and I just don't have the school tie or a Hurley.
Oh my God.
If you feel unsafe at any point during the interview, Paul, you have my number and you can just WhatsApp me, SOS. Yeah, and
totally. I'm messaging on the sly now. I have your message on the sly now.
Honestly, even selecting my outfit, I was like, I haven't had to worry about what to wear all of lockdown. And then this morning I was like, I'd got new jocks for my birthday and I was like, I'll save them now for like after lockdown.
This is too much information, I think.
Anyway, I'm wearing my new jocks. Not
so
that you need to know that, but I'm just saying in general. And this is a new t-shirt.
Okay, I love that anyway. No, but it must be still really weird though, because you're on like these huge shows. Like you were just on James Corden, you're on Graham Norton, but like you're doing it all from your
gaff.
From like here, this little box. And like I suppose the good thing about it is that, like, to be honest, I'd be shitting myself doing that anyway. And at least in this situation, I'm doing it from like the comfort of my sitting room, and it kind of helps that transition, because like I actually couldn't imagine like being flown over to LA to sit on the couch with James Corden and like still feel like, I feel like actually having seen the James Corden one, I'm happy with it, because it feels like, I feel like I recognize myself in it. I'm not
that's lovely. You know, that's so nice.
And I think if I did that at the time, I'd just freeze, because it's a daunting thing.
It's
I
huge, suppose. Yeah, of course.
It's almost like it's kind of like easing you into this like new crazy stardom that now you know have.
Yeah, I don't know. What
you're so adorable. Like, you're literally like Kevin the other day was like, PJ, the hottest ticket in the town is coming on the podcast. And I goes, sorry now, when did you become like some 50s producer from Hollywood?
It's because I've been watching, have you been watching Hollywood on Netflix? I feel like I'm talking like the characters.
Yes.
But you are like the hottest ticket in town. Wait, aren't you?
Say it again. Say, can you say it with an American accent?
Go on.
PJ, he's the hottest ticket in town.
Oh, give that man an award.
Is that American?
Sorry, no.
It's somewhere. It was on that continent. Somewhere.
It was definitely that side of the world, was it?
Maybe he can give you acting lessons, Kev.
Oh my God, one-on-ones.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
How has it been like, just, I know obviously you're quite limited with regard to like how far you can go out and about and like getting out of your house and stuff, but have you been recognized around the place and how has that been for you?
Yeah, it's like the first week I was kind of like, because Daisy was like, I was in contact with Daisy and Daisy was getting recognized flat out, and I was like, nobody is recognizing.
Oh no!
Going on. In the last week or two, and I'm joking about that because it is like, it is a weird sensation. Because everybody who's come up has meant well, but it's something that's going to take a little getting used to. But like, I was coming out of the co-op yesterday, and this guy who's clearly Irish, and you know the way you kind of have to let people walk out before you walk in?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I was like, oh, I better just get out of the way. And he's like, go on, Sligo.
I love that Irish people just have no shame as well.
No, literally. That's
no, but it's the perfect way. Like, I was on the phone to Lara, my agent, the other day, and like clearly on the phone, and somebody was like, "Hey, can I get a picture?" And I was like, "It's just like, of course I would, but it's just a weird thing."
Yeah, exactly.
It's just maybe going to take a little bit of getting used to.
Definitely.
But as PJ said, what a nice way to ease you in. Like, it's not as if you're, you know, hopping on a tube or like hitting central London and you've, you know, troves of people running up to you. You know what I mean?
You have all that ahead of you, girl. You have that to get used to as well.
I can't wait.
Yeah, enjoy the isolation when you can.
Exactly.
Yeah. Holy God, I am red as a beetroot.
You and Kevin are doing the same.
Rosacea, girl.
Were you out in the sun?
I was a little bit today, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'd say you'd be lovely with a colour. When you went to Italy and you had a bit of a tan, it was lovely.
Do you know that bit of a tan was... It's total spray tan.
Sally H.
Oh, sure. We were shooting in Dublin like 2 days before we went to Italy, and we had to go into this tiny little tent at the side of the set, wearing these like white G strings. And I've never got those before. And like spread eagles across, being like, and I'm not gonna lie, I was heavily like, there was a conversation with producers at one point because I was heavily tanned.
Whoever tanned you definitely is selling that g-string on eBay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, babe, but that's up for bidding.
Speaking of selling things on eBay, we started off with Chain Reaction from Diana Ross. Obviously you've been getting like loads of recognition online and stuff, but also I can't believe the talks of the chain, like the chain, capital letters. It's crazy.
It's mad.
So like, what's the story with the chain and like, where is it?
Like, it has its own account now.
Yeah. No, like, your guess is as good as mine. I don't, like...
We've been rocking a chain since day one.
Yeah, I feel so weird. Because, like, I've been wearing this chain for years. And now I think everyone's going to think I'm copying you.
Yeah.
That's what I was like. I thank God I wore a chain beforehand. Because, like, if I would just, like... I've been considering not wearing chains now. But I was like, no, fuck. Can I curse on that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, curse away, girly.
Are you allowed to curse?
Mommy and Daddy, am I allowed to curse? No. No, it's a bit, it's weird because I don't, like, it wasn't like we were walking around set. It wasn't like I was being like, oh, this chain is going to be the sexiest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's like a chain from Argos, but I couldn't tell you why it's kind of landed the way that it has, but it definitely has had some sort of reaction amongst the audience, I think.
I know. I say Elizabeth Duke is delighted. That's the Argos Jewelers, isn't it?
Neville's as well.
Neville's,
I'd say,
Jewelers is we.
Because apparently they're sold out of, like, there's a silver chain that's on ASOS that's fairly similar. They're sold out of it?
It's nuts. Just delighted to be helping the chain trade, you know yourself.
But, like, it's just mad as well how everyone just goes, oh, people think that's sexy now. I'm going to get
I'm
that.
I'm going to do it.
I think it's totally to do with the character and... I think that's the only thing that makes sense in my head, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you gave it to Daisy, we heard.
Yeah, I got filming. Daisy.
Why?
Because we did, like, I don't know, I just thought it was a nice thing to do.
It was a lovely thing. It was to do. So nice, Kevin.
I just wanted.
Looking at me there, I was like,
Kevin's so jealous. I've never felt it before.
Give it to me. Get it back off her.
I asked her, you know, I gave her, like, I just, Enda Bo, who like took all the stills on set, and he's an amazing photographer. I just collated like a couple of photographs and then attached the chain to the back of the frame. It was lovely, and she got me a lovely wrap gift, and it was just a nice.
That's adorable. Nice,
adorable. Yeah. That's so lovely.
Do you feel like this like weird bond together now? Because obviously you've experienced this like craze. It's like the most, one of the most successful. It is the most successful show on BBC iPlayer, isn't it?
Oh yeah, the numbers on it have been absolutely crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, like me and Daisy, like, it's just, we're just like the, like, honestly, the it's like the pair of ye. We're just like the best pals, and it's lovely. It's really, I think it's like, I couldn't imagine working with a better actor, but she's just an absolute legend.
Like, when you went to filming, did you feel like pressure? Because obviously, like, I was the biggest fan of Sally Rooney and her books. Like, I just think she's the biggest icon ever.
Yeah, we've spoken about it before, even how much we adore the novels. So, like,
novels? Sorry.
That's what they are, babe.
Yeah, but I said books. Like, now I feel like you're stupid being like, the books, you're like, yeah, we do love the novels.
Yeah, we do love the novels, the books.
Okay. Anyway.
Stop fighting.
Sorry, Paul.
Not in front of Paul.
But did you feel like that pressure?
Like to live up to the expectation of the books?
Or novels?
Yeah, or the novels, whichever. I'm going to say book slash novel. It was, yeah, I think when a book slash novel is that popular, it does add its own pressure. And like I read the book slash novel just before doing the first audition. And I remember being like, oh shit, this is a character that I love. And also one that I was kind of like, I feel like I know how I go about playing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like, I think for you guys reading it, it's the same response you guys had, was the feeling any reader has had that's like the book. So I think then after getting cast, it's kind of trying to put that anxiety out of your head, but it does kind of creep back in and out and kind mm-hmm. of in bouts. And then it kind of comes back with a vengeance after you finish shooting and you're waiting.
Oh, like, yeah.
They release the trailers and it's like, you go through the comment section, it's like, who the fuck is playing Connell? Why is he a 42-year-old man?
What?
No, I'm over exaggerating.
But I know what you mean. Yeah, you get the trolls. You know, like,
yeah, you could read like 100 good like comments with it, like, oh, exactly how I imagine. Then one person says, oh, he's got a big nose, and you're like, ah, oh, mommy,
yeah.
It's weird that like suddenly if you're doing something like a TV or a show, you suddenly become like, you become public property in a way that your feelings don't exist to people. And I totally get it, because like I watch stuff and I'm like, I could watch somebody and be like, oh, that person is a shit actor or something, like,
yeah.
Like, I know if somebody said that about me, like, I would never ever comment that in a public space where they might.
Yeah, obviously, because you're lovely.
Thank you. I found that difficult to adjust to, but now I'm kind of like, look, it doesn't really bother me if people want to have a go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
Well, coming from two like of the biggest stands ever, we thought you absolutely smashed this.
Yeah, completely.
And I couldn't picture Connell being played by anyone else.
It's really so weird, because even when that trailer was released, I was kind of like, oh my God. And I'm one of those people, because I do enjoy reading. Like when it comes to anything, if someone says, oh yeah, like the movie's so good, I love, even if I haven't read the book, I'll come in with, yeah, but did you read the book? You know what I mean? Just because it's like, okay, to gain this like moral high ground like on things. But like, this is like such a good example of when like the series does measure up to the text, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was like, and that's obviously down to like the entire team behind it, like from casting perspective, but even to the way it was created, like some of the scenes were just, you know, they really did it justice, you know what I mean? So like, applause to everyone all around.
And that's the end of Kevin's Oscar speech.
Thank you for coming to my TED.
I'd just like to thank Sally Rooney, Paul Mescal.
Oh my God, Lenny Abrahamson, if you're listening.
Can you guys hear my next door neighbors?
What are they doing?
No.
You know, I'm just wondering, can you hear them?
No. Are they riding?
Flat out riding.
Are they?
They're not.
No, they're not. They're not.
Oh.
What time? It's like, it's 8:00. You could potentially be riding at this.
No, it's too early for a ride.
It's lockdown. So what else would you be up to on a Friday Eve?
Bacon banana bread or something.
Yeah. Or something.
Save it for later.
Yeah, space the right now.
So we did love the entire series, like wholeheartedly.
Oh, unreal.
Like obsessed with it. But we did feel like there was like one kind of area which we would have liked if it was explored further. You know what I mean?
No, okay. No.
I don't.
So basically there was a scene where you arrived in Italy when yourself and Niall had been off interrailing, right? And we just, like, as the viewer, like, think, like, you know, what did they get up to?
No, so, Kevin thinks.
So I've taken it upon myself just to add a little scene in that could have been included in the series. Obviously wasn't. This isn't the writing of Sally Rooney. This is mine. But I was just thinking, if you were up for a bit of, like, you know, just a bit of role-playing, doing lines.
Yeah, sure.
Let's go for it.
Yeah. So Kevin basically wrote some fan fiction of normal people, and he's making Paul do it, and I'm so sorry.
I'm going to forward it to you on WhatsApp.
My little sister to be listening to it. Now, if you're listening, turn off Spotify.
No, it's not too. It's not.
Nell, if you're listening, we're so sorry, and if your mum's in the room, tell her leave.
Right, okay. Did you get the script?
This is fucking long.
Oh, is it?
It's a full two-page scene.
I have nothing better to be doing. And as well, I felt so empty when I finished the series. I was like, what am I going to do?
And I want nobody to judge my shit acting if this is shit.
No, oh my God, hello. You're on rain.
No, I mean, not the script. I mean, if I'm shitting it.
No, I know. That's why I said you're on rain.
No, it's the writing is
it's
shit.
It's the writing.
I'm just pissed off because I don't even get a fucking role.
Well, wait for you. Do
no, 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 DJ. I'm sorry. You are actually included. You're the rude French waiter, PJ.
I don't even get a fucking name.
Would you just wait for me to announce the cast?
Okay.
Sorry.
The role of Connell will be played by Paul Mescal. The role of Niall will be played by myself, Kevin Toomey. And rude French waiter is PJ, okay?
That's so rude. Okay.
So, Connell and Niall have gone interrailing. As part of their travels, they end up in Paris, where they share a French stick and some cheese, drink a lot of gorgy wine, and find themselves slowly becoming seduced by the city's allure. In this scene, they are in a restaurant on the banks of the River Seine.
I feel like I've been waiting ages for our food. The waiter just keeps ignoring me.
He's very rude, isn't he?
Oh, we're doing the accent.
Well, I
oh, we're doing the...
Oh, okay, we're taking that from the top. We're taking that from
okay.
the top.
Okay, I didn't know you were going to do the accent.
Is that shocking accent?
You should have... It was really good.
Was it actually? It was
shocking. You don't have to lie to him. It's not. You sound like Nadine Coyle.
I just wasn't expecting it. I thought, like...
Will I do my own or will I do the accent?
No, do the accent. Absolutely do the accent. You've nailed it.
Okay,
cool. Okay, yeah, you've nailed it, Kev. Go on, girl.
Yeah. Okay. Any notes on my first...
You are perfect.
Like, couldn't have done better.
Like, stunning.
Great. Okay, here we go. I feel like we've been waiting ages for our food and the waiter just keeps ignoring me.
He's very rude, isn't he?
But I just don't understand what's taking him so long.
Let me try and get his attention. Excuse me.
Oui.
Babe, do a bit more French.
No, we have to go a bit more like...
French.
Okay.
You're rude.
Okay, I have to be... I can't do accent. Okay, ready?
Oui.
That's good.
Yeah, there you go.
I was just wondering if our food is nearly ready. We ordered nearly an hour ago and we're starving.
I am not cooking your food, so I have no idea when it will be ready. But as soon as it is ready, I will bring it to you, sir.
Well, in the meantime, can you get us another bottle of red wine for the table, please? Waiter leaves rudely. Thank you.
That's an important beat in the scene, I think.
Is that my line, Stone?
No, yeah, that's your line, Stone.
You're gone. That's your...
You're still acting in the background in the restaurant.
What?
So waiter leaves rudely. So rude, like. I didn't like the way he spoke to you, and his French accent seems a bit suspect.
Don't worry about it, Connell. Let's just try and enjoy the rest of our evening. We've had such a lovely day, and I don't want this to spoil it. What's been your highlight of Paris?
Fuck's sake.
I loved the Louvre yesterday. I could have looked at some of the paintings in there for a whole day and they were so beautiful.
I know the feeling.
What?
I said they were so appealing.
Yeah? What about you?
Probably the Eiffel Tower last night. I just thought it was really romantic with all the lights and everything. I'm glad I got to experience it with you.
Yeah, me too, Kevin. I mean, Niall.
Though I don't think I'll be coming back to Paris because the service is so shocking.
Yeah, this is a joke. What do you say we make a run for it? As soon as the waiter drops over the bottle of wine, we take it and leg it.
But what about the food? I'm starving.
We'll get something at McDonald's on the way to the hostel. We'll eat that, drink the bottle of wine, and we'll just have a... Okay, I'm gonna take that line again.
Okay, good.
We'll get something at McDonald's on the way back to the hostel. We'll eat that, drink the bottle of wine, then I'll just have to douche quickly before we head out.
Kevin.
Douche?
Yeah, it's the French for shower.
Oh.
So what do you say? You up for it?
I've never done anything like this before. But when I'm with you, I feel I feel
chaotic.
Yeah.
And scene. I'm so sorry.
I love this. You're a true professional. PJ, you need a lot of work.
Well, I had fucking one line.
But babe, there's no such thing as small parts, just small actors.
Oh, I love it.
That's one thing we learn in the biz, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, in the biz, it's one of the first lessons.
Thank you so much for going along with that.
And I'm so sorry you felt uncomfortable with Kevin's weird home.
I thought it was gas.
Thank you so
much. I think Sally would be proud of that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I think she'd be proud of that.
Sally, if you're listening, we're so sorry. So sorry for that homoerotic script that Kevin made you read out. It was quite sexual. But speaking of being sexual, see the link there.
Just enjoy it.
The series is obviously causing a lot of ruckus in Ireland for being like a bit raunchy. Mm-hmm. And like my mam even was like, oh, I recorded Normal People, but I can't watch it because they're in and out of the bed a lot. Is it weird, like your mam and sister, like watching a series where like you're always being into it, or is that like so fine?
Well, like I don't think it's like a natural thing to ask your parents and family to do, and like, but I also think that like, and not to get soppy, but like, my family is like, they're very progressive, and they're like, they knew very quickly once I got the part, they read the book, and they were like, this is the way it is, and it'd be a different thing if the show was kind of pornographic in terms of like how it portrayed sex or how it did those. But I'm of the opinion that that's not the case, and I think ultimately, like, I wasn't born by immaculate conception, you know, like everybody knows what sex is. Like, but I think like they've all obviously all watched it, and they're incredibly proud of it. Yeah. So
that's the thing, like, it's shot and it's treated so beautifully. It just shows, and I love the fact that like that when you were shooting it, you didn't shy away from those scenes.
Yeah, like it was so delicate, and there was just such an honesty and like truth about it. Like, we'll say in the second episode, when that first, like the first time you have sex, like that was just so like
beautiful.
And you know what, as well, like it's such like a change in direction from like what we're used to watching on TV, like from American series, like watching Netflix and stuff. Like, this was like accurate, you know what I mean? And I know there was talks on, you know, like Liveline back home and stuff, and a woman did refer to it as pornographic, and I'm going, babe, what porn are you watching?
I was like, if she referred to that as porn, she want to see my history.
Like, she'd be shocked.
Like, if she saw my searches, she'd be up in a heap.
But I've freaked out about it in the sense that like episode 2 is one of the tamer, like, I was like, lads, if you think episode 2 is bad, wait till you see the thumb sucking in episode 5. Like, but like, look, it did frighten me a little bit that I was like, oh, that I didn't think that that response would even happen at all. And like, look, it has happened, and people are totally entitled to their opinions. It's just not remotely mine.
Yeah,
and also it's an incorrect opinion.
Well,
let's be honest.
You can say that.
Well, we can, like, back to like archaic Catholic Guild Ireland.
I think,
like,
yeah,
you know,
and
what I mean.
I think it's just like because they're of a different generation.
Yeah, it is that.
Because like when my mom was saying that, I was like, I literally said to her, I goes, mom, like, sure, you and my dad had sex to have me. And she was like, PJ, shut up. But she was like, oh no, she's like, I will watch it eventually. It's just like, I'm just not used to seeing it. So I think it's just they're not used to seeing.
Probably just not
like
used
that.
To it. But there was even that thing on the front of some paper, and it gave a breakdown of how much sex was happening in each episode.
That's nuts. Like, who is taking out a stopwatch to time that? That's fucking way weirder than the like sex in it. Like,
that's what we were saying.
Because I was like, there's one of the comments says like how long like there's full frontal going on, and I'm like, are you sitting down with a timer? That's weird.
But that actually did irk me a bit. I was just like, all that is to attempt to be inflammatory and kind of hold the show. Like, to be honest, the show isn't about sex. It's about a relationship. And like, any, like, whether I suppose this is where what I feel about it. I think whatever people's opinion on it, the fact of the matter is that the majority of people between the ages of, let's say, 17 to 19, who have their first formative relationship, unfortunately for people who don't want to hear it, they're probably having as much sex as they can possibly have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like, true. I think instead of focusing on that, I think what I think people should be doing is acknowledging whatever your opinion on that is, that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
People at that age, hormones are flying around. Yeah. When you fancy someone, you want to, like, that's what you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
What the show does brilliantly, I think, is that it shows consent in a way that we haven't seen on screen a huge amount. It's about, like, and it's in my opinion, it makes consent fucking sexy. Like, it's not like sign on the dotted line, this is consent.
Mm.
It's like they're like so into each other, and he's like, I'm so mad about this situation, yeah, but I'm ultimately attending to you before anything that has anything, yeah, to do with me. That's poorly articulated, but I think people, that should be what people are focusing on instead of kind of their own ideals.
Exactly. Yeah. No, completely. And you know what? Even if people do have these opinions, I suppose one really important takeaway is that it's opening up the conversation. And because everyone's at home, because everyone's probably watching this in the living room with their parents, regardless of how awkward it may be watching a sex scene with your parents, it's opening up conversation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was one of the biggest things. Like, I remember after episode 2, and we didn't watch it together, we watched it different times. I remember taking just like a moment and pausing it and just being like, Jesus Christ. First of all, it was so subtle. As you said, it wasn't that sign here, but it was just done so beautifully. Yeah. And like, the focus was on the characters and the relationship and the care that was between them, you know what I mean?
Like, even when we were shooting it, like, it wasn't like when we were rehearsing the scene prior to shooting it, like, it wasn't like even the conversation between like me, Lenny, and Daisy at that point, it wasn't like, oh, and this is the moment that he talks about consent. It wasn't like, let's really focus in on this, because the writing did that in and of itself. So it was just like, say the words, and that is like, if you're in a position like that and you mean what you say, and you can communicate care and support to the person that you're like having sex with, that is consent. That scene kind of highlights the fact that consent is a very, very easy thing to navigate if you care about the other person.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
And as well, like, even because that's out there now, people can see that, and just, it will change behavior as well. Yeah. So like, young fellas and young girls seeing that will be like, oh, you can still be all right and be like sexy, but ask me if I actually am comfortable. Like, this is amazing. Exactly. It's so important.
Yeah. It's the first time I think I've properly seen it on screen illustrated in that way. And that's not just like Irish television. That's like on an international scale, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like such an important scene ultimately. And like, I'm so glad that it was done the way it was done.
So everyone listening, girlies, consent is sexy.
You heard it from Paul Mescal himself, the hottest ticket in town right now. Consent is sexy.
Hottest ticket in town.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And it wasn't pornographic at all, but that didn't stop people from getting hot under the collar. And we found some tweets that are ridiculous.
But we've been loving them. Like, some of them are hilarious. Like, people have been coming through with the good, good.
So we're going to have to do a section where you read them out if you're up for it.
Do you want to read out some thirst tweets?
Let's go for it. Yeah.
Let's do it. I love that you're up for everything.
I love how great you're after going already. So I'm going to share my screen. Yeah, we did a slideshow.
The level of, I love it.
Thirst professional.
Dave, we didn't just fall into this gig overnight. Seasoned.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, girlies, because we know a lot of you are gasping back home and you've been sharing your thoughts online on the Twitter, we've decided to share a few of our favorite thirst tweets with Paul, and he's going to read them out for us. Over to you, girlie.
This is good. As Malabarks,
no,
to Paul Mescal, : I would respond at 8:01, even if you text me at 8:02.
That's hilarious. I love it.
That's good. That's good crack. I love that.
Next.
At Sean B.G. O'Neill. I've seen this one. I want to disguise myself as Connell's chain so I can smell his neck.
I love it.
It's so visceral. Like, it's like, imagine, like, can you actually imagine going up to somebody and smelling that, like, Yeah. There's something really like, I don't know, it's just really front-footed is what I'm going to say, it. Sean.
I love it,
that's
Sean.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
At Camilla Ainsworth one, normal people, beautiful stuff. Paul Mescal is a superstar and extremely delicious.
Thank you. That's wholesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Camilla. That's yeah, thank you.
He's so cute.
Your head is down, I love it.
You're adorable.
At Neve, not Neem. Good evening only to Paul Mescal and my filthy 16-year-old desire.
She's over 18, the girl who tweeted this speech check.
Thank God, yeah. And also, what you did, because... And I love how you said filthy. It was very good. You really got into it.
Yeah.
Would you say filthy again?
Filthy.
Oh, wow.
At your pal Beth, my only thought so far on normal people is that Connell, his wee silver chain, and his arse are all very sexy.
That was definitely a man.
Yeah, that's Beth is definitely a man.
I say it's a man. I love it. I love that she said arse as well. It's pure
arse is like arse is so much more violent than bum, isn't it?
Yeah, completely, isn't it? Really?
I say Beth's a laugh on the night out.
I say Beth's a scream.
Yeah. Next. At Golden Floric, I just want Paul Mescal to break my heart. I just want Paul Mescal to break my back like a glow stick. Is that too much to ask?
No, but that's fucking brilliant.
I'm concerned about Floric and her degree of self-respect. Like, you should never want somebody to break your back in any situation. Any That's situation.
Brilliant. That's wise words. Oh, my God.
At Caitlin Brown 265, why is Paul Mescal in a century uniform? So, wow. I worked in a Maxall before. So, like, there's definitely some photographs of me floating around in a...
Really?
In that beautiful... blue Maxall polo.
I love it. I love as well that you like just worked in a Maxall.
Yeah, you know that you worked in a Maxall.
And now you're just like international superstar.
So. Like, why is that? That's, of course I work. Like,
I know, but you know what I mean?
I think it's as well when you're watching a series and you're like, oh my God, this series is incredible. And then it just takes you back to how Irish it is when you just pop up in a fucking century uniform. You know what I mean? I'm going, oh my God, that could be filmed down the road for me.
Yeah, no, I totally get you now.
And also, you looked well.
so well, to be correct.
So well.
According to Caitlin Brown. Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Thanks, Caitlin, with a C.
Next.
This is, I'm prefacing this. This is my favorite normal people tweet that I have seen ever.
You're only saying that
to me, Paul.
At Kevin Toomey, spelt with a 2. Trying to stick my lockdown schedule and learn some Spanish, but I can't stop thinking about Paul Mescal in his ga kit. # normal people.
I mean, we've all been there.
We've all, like, Kevin, that tweet made me hysterically laugh for quite a period of time.
I love it. I love that you responded to it, because then I had, like, my friends who were, like, following me on Twitter, like, message me and be like, oh my God, Paul Mescal's replied to your tweet. And I was like, yeah, he has. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I love it. I have that framed on my wall now.
I'm going to get a frame for you. I think I'm going to frame it as well.
Will I just give you a minute, lads?
Do you want to leave?
Will I just give you... I'm just going to go.
I think we have one more, do we?
Do we? Oh, yeah, we have...
This isn't so much a thirst tweet, but it's like a tweet, which we just think is hilarious.
The next What? This one or the next one? What?
Next one.
Next one, okay. At Scamanders... If anyone tries to get Paul Mescal to read thirst tweets, he might combust. The poor man, he's Irish. We can't even take a simple compliment. Scamanders, you are right.
You are right.
But you did a great job.
Well done.
Well done, Paul.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it
stop,
as well.
How do I stop sharing my screen? Stop share.
One second, yeah. Let me just go back into
it. Let me go back. Oh, look at me. I'm literally a tech whiz.
You actually are navigating it really well.
But like, fair play, you handle that so well.
How does it feel? And I know, obviously, again, you're kind of just reacting to like what you're seeing online. But also, like, like you've been covered in, was it Grazia magazine, like a load of other different magazines, people are going off in their blog posts, it's like worldwide, like, and people are kind of framing you as like a sex symbol now, you know what I mean? So like, is that weird for you, or like,
are you loving it?
Are you loving it?
No, I did.
He's loving it.
To be honest, it's uncomfortable, not in the sense that it's like faux, like I'm not trying to be faux, like full of faux humility. But it's a weird thing when very quickly people are attracted to a character that you play. And I think that's the thing that I'm kind of focusing in on. It's like, I'm not Connell. I'm totally different to him. Mm-hmm. And like, I think maybe what's sexy about Connell is he's that like kind of classic back-footed, aloof, smart. I'm definitely not back-footed or aloof than him. So it's like, it was kind of fun at the start. I was like, oh, this is mad. People think that Connell's sexy. And then a weird thing has kind of crept in where like when people DM, there's this kind of feeling that there's maybe an anticipation that I'm him. And I think in my head, there's a little bit there. If this is for the record, if anybody is dating, ever dates me, I am not Connell and nor do I want to be him.
Yeah.
There's
I love
so much
that.
Power in that sentiment. You're oh my God.
I love him, but I just am not.
You're not him. You're playing a character and you're a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, it's like it's the same as like when you go on to do your next role, like you're going to be
you could be playing a slug.
Person.
You know what I mean? And people might be like, oh, yuck, that slug in that series is John Menke.
Does it have to, it could
just, no, yeah. I didn't know.
It could be like a lieutenant. No.
If you were playing a slug in some adaptation of like Wind in the Willows or something. Is there a slug in Wind in the Willows?
I have no idea. It's a badger, isn't there? There's a badger in
badger.
The Wind in the
Willows. I think you make a hot badger though. Sorry, I need to. We'll just go with slug.
Yeah, we'll go with slug. Slugs are off.
Sorry.
You can't date a character, I think, is what we're getting out of this. Do you think dating's going to be hard for you now after this? Because obviously, you're like before you could just date whoever you wanted, but now it's like, you're a superstar. Basically.
Like, if you popped up my Tinder, I presume someone was catfishing, because I'd be like, what's he on my Tinder for? You know what I mean? So that's kind of off limits.
Are you on Tinder?
No, I was on Tinder and Hinge, like, on the Friday before. No, I wasn't on Tinder, I was on Hinge. Before the show came out, but then I'd stopped using it like weeks before, so I was like, oh, that's just because I didn't like it anyway.
Just stick to Grindr.
Can't go wrong with Grindr. to be honest, I'm really looking forward to dating. I think I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying not to think of it being weird because I think, look, we've been in lockdown for like fucking months and like I've had no opportunity to be kind of like meeting somebody new or being remotely intimate with anybody, and I think
you're horny.
Yeah, that's come and gone. Like I think I'm at the point now I want to get married and like settle down.
Oh,
but you know that kind of hysterical thing where I'm not, if lockdown ever happens again, I'm making sure that I'm married and have like, which isn't like, I've been facetious, but I am looking forward to dating.
That'd be exciting.
Imagine.
Tell us now if you ever want us to like vet a girl, you can just like send us and we'll meet her and then we'll just be like, so what are your intentions of her?
I'm just excited and there will be no further conversation.
Okay.
My sister's mad in Chen, she's single, so just putting it out there. Now, I think it'd be weird. She looks like me with a wig, so it could be weird for you. Oh, would you love that? I'm joking. Obviously no love beard it. Either. And she's smaller teeth. Anyway, off time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Okay, so normal people like deals with a whole array of like different themes. Like we have relationships in there, we have like class, we have
family,
there's like sex, mental health. And in episode 10, we kind of really get an insight into like Connell's character and everything he's been dealing with, I suppose, really prompted by the suicide of his friend and kind of him just kind of feeling like he doesn't really fit in since he's kind of made the move to Dublin. And I just think, like, again, personally, and I know this is probably reflected by yourself, PJ, like just that scene with the therapist was just like so beautiful. But again, it wasn't like overdone. It just like, yeah. I've never been in that situation myself, but I just think, oh my God, like as an actor, I just think you did an incredible job in it. Do you want to like kind of take us through that and like kind of how you got yourself geared up for a performance like that?
Yeah, that's so nice. I remember there's this weird thing that I think a lot of actors do is when they read something and they see a character get upset, there's like a big like, oh fuck, God bless that actor and like how they're going to do it. And I definitely felt that, but I remember reading the book and being like, I don't cry when I read books, or like typically if I watch a movie, it would like something, it like I'd have to be hungover or like good old soundtrack or like something to make me weep. But I remember reading that book and that scene in particular, and I remember being like, that poor boy is in a really bad place. And I think in terms of how it prepared for it, I think what Sally has done in the novel up until that point is really kind of given you a really carefully traced like trail of breadcrumbs as to where, like you see the building blocks of his anxiety to that point. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like, there's bits in that, like I remember, I've talked a bit about this, but I remember, so we finished the first block with Lenny and then we did a read through of episode 7 to 12 with Hetty and all the actors. And it was a really small circle. And Aina, who's one of my best friends, who played Rob, was sitting opposite me in the circle. And Rob's obviously the character that commits suicide in Ep 10. And I remember we were reading, do you know that like montage bit in that episode where it's like he gets the call and then he starts crying with Lorraine and he's getting ready for the funeral and the funeral happens. And Hetty was reading that, our director for that. And I remember looking across at Aina, and Aina is like quite a stoic guy. And he was just in bits. And it was the lines just got blurred because it wasn't like, it's not like Aina is Rob or I'm Connell or anything like that. But it's the fact that people, like I recognize Connell and I know people like Rob, unfortunately. Yeah. I know people like Connell. And I think the suicide obviously triggers it for him, but he has like, Connell has these lines in that episode, in that scene with the counselor in particular, where he says, when he says he misses Marianne, and that's one of the main things. That's the secret, I think, to that scene. It's the fact that his best friend isn't there to support him. Mm-hmm. Marianne's away somewhere else. And then he talks about, which I think is a big thing, and like you, like I think it could be a similar thing to you guys. Like you're from Cork, you move over to London, for example. He says this thing where he's like, "I thought if I moved here, people would like me, but here people don't really like me that much. And that line to me is quite an upsetting thing to ever admit about yourself. If you like actually vocalized to somebody else and said, I don't think people like me that much. I think for me, that was always like, it was like a little hook for me to be like, he genuinely means that. He's not just being like, I don't think people like me. Mm-hmm. It's a truth for him. And then obviously that whole thing of like, at the very end of that scene when he's like, and now there's a finality to it because the life that I have here hasn't panned out. I'm incredibly depressed. I don't fit in. I don't have friends. The person that I love is in Sweden, and the friend, one of my friends from home, is dead. So I can't go back and get that life again because it's everything has changed. I just think it's written so well, but I definitely was shitting myself when I had to shoot it. But I definitely felt like I prepared as much as I could, because for a lot of people, it's that is a reality. They do have those conversations, and I wanted to try and get it as accurate as I could.
Yeah, you played it so well, and like as you said, you know those people, like, and you've been those people as well. Like as you said, when we moved over here, or like I had friends as well before that you'd be worried about that you're leaving back in your hometown and stuff like this. Like I think that's why I was bawling, crying myself. I was like a baby.
It like completely resonates. I remember even I had this knot in my stomach when I watched. When Connell first goes to that party, when he goes to Trinity, when he goes to the house party, and I was going, Christ, I've been there. I've been like, oh my God, I'm way too sober to be making these social interactions with these people I don't even know. I feel like an oddball. What am I doing here? I should have stayed home. And I was like, for that in itself, and that like feeling of like not fitting in, like I think it's just it has universal application really, but I suppose taking it back to Ireland, I think it's just such an important conversation, again, that the series has opened up about lads communicating, like, how they're feeling. Because there is this, obviously, like, kind of element of toxic masculinity within Ireland. But, like, it's opening up the conversation where we're saying it's, like, it's good for lads to start chatting about it. It doesn't relate to weakness. It's, if anything, it's strength. And it's, like, it's health, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Like, we take such good care of our physical health, and then when it comes to mental health, I think even the word mental, because there is this like stigma still attached to it, it's like people shy away from it and they, you know, don't want to talk about it. Whereas the fact that it was on national television in like one of the top series, like, you know what I mean? It's just going to spark so many conversations. I think that's such a triumph.
It was such a symbol to just have this. Supposedly what you say like was like a typically like strong masculine like GA player like bawling his eyes out in a chair, like even that image is I think is so important for people, especially like young boys in Ireland, to like see that and be like, oh I can cry, that's fine. Because you're told when you were young, you're younger, like, oh, don't cry, like you're a boy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, girls can cry, lads can't. And it's like, no, it's bullshit, we all go through the same emotions. So it's like
It's just really upsetting, though. It's like, I think it's really important for me to talk about like how that scene came about and all of those things. But like, when that scene cut, I was able to go back home and stop thinking about it. There's people there's people who sit down in those chairs and they bawl their eyes out and they're not fixed immediately. You know, they're not, it's an ongoing thing for the rest of their life. And I think I feel incredibly lucky that I can spark this conversation, but more importantly, I feel incredibly lucky that I don't have to experience those things. And I think it is hugely important. It's like, if you had a broken leg, you would go to see a doctor. If you were like feeling what these people are feeling, what people like Connell are feeling, the furthest thing from shame exists if you go and speak to somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we're all starting to understand that that's the truth of it. There's no, as you guys said, there's no weakness in it. And I think,
I think that's the perfect way to finish on that. Like,
you said it. You said it so perfectly there and so eloquently. Like,
yeah, well done, girl. You're amazing.
You were fab.
So let's lighten the mood, girlies, because this is that my favorite went somewhere.
This is my favorite bit. This next bit.
Okay, so This section, do you want to intro it? Because you're obsessed.
I'm obsessed. Okay, so basically, just to preface this a bit, I came across a tweet during
the hottest ticket in town.
I can't live out of it.
The hottest ticket in town.
You need to watch that. Yes. So funny. That was good, actually. That was better than mine. But basically, I came across this tweet, and it was someone who shared a video of the Tyra show with Tyra Banks, right? The talk show that she used to host. And basically, there was a segment of her show.
You know who she is, right?
Yeah, Tyra Banks.
Yeah, yeah, top model. She's probably watched your series as well, presumably. Would
yeah.
she have?
Yeah, be rude yeah. if she didn't.
Be kind of rude.
Yeah, be rude.
What about the Kardashians watching you then? That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
How crazy was that? How crazy was that?
It's definitely like, period. I like really like normal.
Yeah. I'd love they wrote you. How funny would that be?
I bet you Chris is going to try and sign you because you know the way she's a monitor. You want to tell Lara to watch her back?
Chris is coming for our gig.
Yeah, no, I've told Lara, like, I'm not going to be signing with Kris Jenner, unfortunately.
Oh, obviously. Also, sorry, for everyone Chris. Who's listening, Lara's Paul's agent, and she's an absolute
She's
legend.
A dream boat. She started listening to the podcast first and then got Paul onto it, so we have to stand.
We stand
so bloody hard.
Lara's a legend. She is a legend.
So basically, there's a segment on the show that she does towards the end with her guests, and it's chaotic, but it's so fucking brilliant. So what she does is she takes their name and she basically just finds a word that rhymes with it and makes a question out of it. So for example, one of the clips is her with Mary J. Blige and she just goes, Harry J. Blige, is there any part of your body that you wax?
It's the most ridiculous,
it's so ridiculous
section, right?
But also like addictive viewing. Like another example, she says like, Little House on the Prairie, J. Blige. And basically, it's just kind of quick fire questions. And we thought we'd play around with your name and throw some of our own questions your way.
Brilliant.
You ready?
For the viewers, because I'm seeing you on Zoom, you've both literally gone like really like...
Show busy.
You're show busy. Like it's straight back. It's tits and ass.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're professionals,
babe. We're professionals, girly. Yeah. Also, I do have stunning posture on a normal day. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Me too.
It's the yoga.
It's the ballet.
And the ballet.
Oh, shit, posture.
Shout out to Alan Foley, my ballet teacher.
And Liz Murphy, back in Cork. Okay. Pub crawl, mescal. What's your favourite pub in Ireland or London?
The Roost, Minute, end of.
Oh, amazing.
Never been there, but great publicity for the gaff.
Withdrawals, mescal. One thing you're really missing at the moment. Is this going to be sad?
Love, intimacy, people.
Oh, virtual hug.
Honestly, as soon as this lockdown breaks, I'm over to your gaff. Or you can come here or whatever. I don't know where you live, but like, I can find it.
Shopping mall, mescal. Where's your favorite place to buy clothes before you started wearing Fendi and Gucci Gooch?
Gucci Gooch. I've in the last year, I've been a big fan of COS.
Oh, we stand COS
so hard.
A nice, simple cut, like boxy. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My boyfriend's sister works there and she gets a discount. Not that you need it now, but like if you ever do.
If you ever wanted it, you could get on to us. Well, get on to PJ, but message me first.
Mr. Porter as well. Mr. Porter's V9.
Oh, Mr. Porter.
Who are a big fan of yours, I believe.
I'm not saying that as like hugging Mr. Porter, just like I like clothes that are like clean but just like nice quality.
I kind of thought you were going to say like one of those.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Cos. I'm glad to hear it. Okay, Monster Ball Mescal. What's your favorite Lady Gaga track?
Poker Face. Oh no, I tell a lie actually. Anything, always remember us this way from A Star Is Born.
I sobbed watching A Star Is Born.
Oh, do you know when it cuts back to Bradley Cooper and it's him playing the piano in that last
song?
Oh,
that's heartbreaking.
Remove me, I need to be removed.
Me and Kevin were going to cry on that and then two girls were laughing in front of us in the cinema and Kevin nearly reefed them out of the cinema.
It was so rude. They were skitting laughing because one of their friends was crying and they were laughing and it just ruined it.
And we were like, let your friends feel her feelings, babe.
The best thing, go to the cinema by yourself. only way to go to the cinema.
Paul, sorry, but like, we're distant. I'm not even joking.
Anyway, I want it all, mezcal. If you weren't an actor, what profession would you pursue besides modeling?
I put that in.
I would have done something that would have accommodated me playing Gaelic football. I don't know what it would have been. I wanted to be in the army at one point.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to be in the army. Weird. I can't imagine doing
that
now.
Weird. Kind of love it.
Would you be a singer?
I wouldn't have been a singer.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like...
Nell's
I only sing now because I've been like, it's Nell's gig.
Yeah.
I loved your cover of Chandelier.
Lads, Sia shared it.
I know.
We saw that. I called PJ down to tell him.
I lost my life. But yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Sia knows who you are. Also, just on the army thing, I could see you in an army movie.
Yeah.
Look, I'd love to be in an army movie.
Yeah.
Director listening, put me in an army movie.
There's a lot. So casting directors who are listening, like Paul's free for army movies.
For army movies. Okay. Know-it-all, mezcal. What was your favourite subject?
These are so ridiculous. Is this dying?
Well, I don't know, is it dying? What was your favourite subject in school?
History. I loved history.
Oh. Yeah.
Quick writer. Often you'd have to write like 4 pages in like ridiculously short period of time, but I liked history.
Yeah. I love it, yeah.
Vestibules and stuff.
Vestibules and bits.
Pure vestibule. Like...
The entrance to the Roman houses. We only studied it to junior, sir, so. No, yeah, that's all we know.
You obviously weren't that good at it, even though you loved it.
I'll tell you, I got an A1 in my Leaving Cert in history.
Oh!
Chef kisses. Applause, please, gentlemen.
Not just a pretty face, girlies.
Not just a pretty face.
Next one.
When there's something strange in your neighborhood, who you gonna call, mezcal?
These are terrible.
I love that one. When I came up, when I ran upstairs to BJ to tell him. Anyway, what's one thing you're afraid of?
Death.
Oh, Christ.
Scared of death. Don't want it to happen. And I know it's going.
Yeah, pure.
Death, scary. Pure scary. Isn't it?
Pure scary.
Or death and also getting old. I'm scared of getting old. I don't like the prospect of that. Do you know that speech that this is going to be so actor and like wanky, but you know that speech that the dad has in Call Me By Your Name when he's like, there's a moment in somebody's life when they stop looking at your body. And it's not that like, but there's a moment when like, you're not young anymore and you're just this like older person. And that makes, that won't be a good transition for me, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have a midlife crisis.
I think age would suit you well. Paul?
I think this suits you both well. Definitely, definitely.
I feel like
PJ, I'm definitely getting a midlife crisis.
Yeah, let's do it together.
Yeah, I suppose if we're in it together.
Okay, that was
that wraps up our Tyra section.
Tyra section.
Woo!
Thank you, guys.
Okay, I love that
last section, and then we're done.
Yeah.
Okay, girlies, it's time for our favorite section. Mam knows best.
Can I just say that it's so weird seeing you guys, like, it's like watching how I imagined listening to it.
Oh!
It's
the best
thing ever. It's like, sorry, go back to your
I love that you listen.
Also, I'm never this done up. You know what I mean? I'm the most dressed up and done up I've ever been.
Wearing a t-shirt, babe.
No, but I mean the effort with the grooming. Don't be so rude, actually. I'll go first with my man's one.
Okay. First is Phil Toomey.
So, hi everyone. My question this week is, my mum is turning 60 in June, still thinks she's about 40. Don't we all? She hates her birthday and would always be on holidays for it, but all that's cancelled now. Any nice ideas that we can do to celebrate for a mammy that never sits and doesn't like a lot of attention? So I suppose I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to be turning 60 in another few months. I would absolutely
You are girly and you don't look it.
A party, a surprise party, anything like
she
that.
She doesn't like surprises.
I love parties. I just wouldn't like my own one.
She doesn't like fuss.
And I understand you're fairly limited now with the lockdown and all that, but you know, you can still make it special. So I'd be inclined to say make a poem, or, you know,
she's mad into the poems.
And
since she wrote to my one,
she'd love that. You know, it sounds a bit bleh, but actually, no, it's a lovely thing to do. And maybe write it into her card and just make the day special. You know, aww, hopefully it'll be a lovely sunny day and you could have drinks in the garden.
Oh, good. Now
cocktails and what have you. You could make a playlist.
Margarita.
Of her favourite music back in the day when we were in the pubs and clubs doing our thing. I'm trying to think of some that I would love now on that playlist.
She's basically telling me,
oh my God,
she
something
wants
by the Drifters and Hot Chocolate and the Bee Gees, ABBA.
Yeah,
you know, obviously ABBA. We listen to a load of stuff, but they're kind of nice, easy listening songs. And one of my favourites of all,
go on, girl.
I think it was by the Foundations. Why do you build me up, Buttercup? I just absolutely love that song. I could see y'all in the back garden singing along and having a laugh. And maybe between now and then you could trawl through some of those photo albums, you know, from when you were kids and all the special times.
Very thorough response.
Very thorough, little to me.
And, you know, show her on the day. She'd love that, I'm sure. And then a takeaway. I remember there a couple of weeks ago, mine surprised me with Sunday lunch from a local restaurant in Douglas. It was absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed it. And no washing up. So I suppose really what I'm trying to say is mammies will be happy with their special day. You know, just no arguments, no drama. Just have a lovely day and you're going to enjoy it anyway. Okay, good luck.
Woo! She could be a fucking party planner.
Yeah. No, like, that goes without question.
What do you think she should do, Paul, for her 60th?
I think being Irish, sometimes it's difficult to be sentimental, even with our mammies, but at a birthday, that becomes allowed. And like, around your birthday, celebrate it with the ones that you love.
Zoom party, another Zoom one. Woo! You know I love a Zoom party.
TJ loves a Zoom, I hear that.
Cool, my mam, let's go.
Right,
sorry. Nuala Kirby on the decks. Paul, do you want to introduce my mam?
Yeah, I want to introduce. Right, PJ, let's see what your mam has to say. That's the worst introduction ever.
My mam tells me every day that she hates her work. She wants to retire. How can I comfort her? Dear listener, what can I say except there is nothing worse than getting up each day not wanting to go to work and being unhappy. No, all you can do is listen and be there for her, as it's entirely up to herself what she needs to do. Is she in a permanent position? Is she in the pension scheme? How long does she have to retire? Could she get another job she would like? Has she other options? Firstly, consider the options and what she would like to do, and also make time for relaxation and hobbies, which maybe she has forgotten.
Yeah,
oh, that's true.
And hopefully it will all work out. Good luck.
That was the dramatic pause of a
moment. I love the dramatic pause.
Hopefully it'll all work out. Good luck.
I loved it.
My mom lives with the drama.
She lives with the drama. She knew we'd an actor on this week and she was like, I need to impress.
Oh, like, she had us literally all, like...
on the cusp, right?
Like, she had us in the palm of her hands. Well done, Nuala.
But yeah, I think the big takeaway from that is know your options. So, like, if she is allergic to her job and she wants to retire, can she retire?
Yeah.
Is she in a scheme? If she is, like...
Yeah.
Then she needs to try and see, can she move that to a new job?
Yeah.
But I think the main thing is, like, she just... If you're living and working in a job that doesn't make you happy... Like, you have to change something.
Yeah. So this is a bit of an exclusive. Paul's mum is very vocal about the fact that she's a fan of the show. She's reached out on Twitter. She's also reached out on the gram. She's very social savvy, and she's been messaging us the whole time to say how fond she is of the show, right? So we're like, we need to get Derval involved because she sounds like an absolute legend.
My mum obviously is weak for the show. No, she's obsessed. She's got the t-shirt. That's all she was screaming. She's like, I got your t-shirt.
But I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah,
she's giving me such icon energy.
We need to feature her as a Man Crush Monday ASAP.
Oh, we have to.
Oh, look, it's been said now. She's going to make sure that she's a Man Crush Monday.
But we couldn't leave a Man Knows Best section go by without having Dervla give her 2 cents.
Exactly. Right.
Here's the question. So, it was, I'm a Leaving Cert student, and never mind all that uncertainty about predicted grades, but I'm freaking out about college on top of that. I haven't a clue what course to choose next year, and I'm so worried I'm going to end up stuck in some course in a city I don't even like. Keep being told to follow my passion and blah, 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 which makes me feel even worse because I don't know what my passion is or if I even have one. I just don't know what to do.
Can I just say that girl who submitted that is probably freaking the feck out, yeah, because Paul Mescal has just read her conundrum.
No, I love that he was like freaking out because of her life.
No, it's because of you. We'll go on anyway.
No, but like, that's honestly like the poor 6 years of this. Like,
oh, completely.
Over to Dervla.
I actually haven't heard this.
Hello. What an honor. I've listened to your mum's advice loads of times, and then to hear their voices. So thank you very much for having me on to give advice.
That's the cutest.
I love her.
Hi, Paul. Leaving Cert student, class of 2020. You are all the most incredible human beings. You are living through the most epic time in our history. And you have been doing Leaving Cert work on Zoom. You have been doing the Leaving Cert program while being bombarded with news feeds about the world and viruses and scary, scary stuff. And you are still doing it. So I'm beyond impressed by you guys. Finding your passion at 17 or 18, well, more power to the people that have it and know what they want. And I think that is incredible too. But for all of most normal people,
we love it.
That ain't real.
We love it.
It's really hard to know what you want to do at 17 or 18. And I think if I had gone to college, I didn't go to college, and I'm 51.
Yes.
And I'm about to retire in about 3 years or so. I think if I was going to go to college now, I probably would do an arts degree to allow myself grow up, figure out what I'd like. I think going to college allows you to find your tribe.
I love that line.
I also think that maybe college isn't everything for everybody, and getting a job and doing something that you find out whether you like it or not, whether it's serving behind a counter, whether it's in the catering or caring industry, whatever it is, that you find out pretty quick if you like it or don't like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's in the quiet that you find out what you really, really want to do, what makes your soul dance. So,
oh my God.
I think putting the pressure on yourself at 17 or 18 to know what your passion is so hard. And I think the class of 2020 are going to be our most resilient yet, because they have lived through this incredible time. And I can't wait to see what they produce, what they become, how they lead. And I'm going to be quite happy to be a granny or a great granny under their leaderships. So go out there, be happy. And lads, you continue to do your magic. And big love from here to there. Thanks.
Oh my God.
I'm a bit emotional.
She's just like, that is actually my mom as well. You know, like, she's a very considered person, and I love you. So.
Oh, that's adorable. I'm sorry now, Dervla, for Lord Mayor.
Lord Mayor, no, babe. I'm thinking big. Durham yeah, Liberal President.
Taoiseach. Yeah, oh, I thought they were the same thing. I'm sorry.
PJ's no concept of like those kind of things. But
we're a democracy, right?
But sure. Is,
I just think she said it so eloquently. I'm yeah, not going to try. Well, I don't think I'm going to add to it
because what she said is so accurate, and I love that she's mad about the show as well. I do. I just kind of love that.
This has been the best interview ever.
It's just been so much fun. You know what I mean? Obviously, yeah. We were nervous about it initially, but you're so down to earth. And like, I know from watching the series, I was like, oh my God, am I obsessed with Connell from Normal People, from the book? Or am I obsessed with Paul Mescal? And I think, like, obviously still obsessed with Connell, but also it's because you're such, and even listening to your interviews and stuff recently, like online and listening to other podcasts that you featured in, like, you're such a fucking gent. You know what I mean?
Such a legend.
And you're so down to earth.
I always ask myself, like, when I meet people, I'm like, oh, would I call them up and go for a pint with them? And I would definitely do that with you. You're just such a genuine
That's happening. And I'm saying this and not to be like, we're all like being real sycophantic because it's not the case. And I know I'm aware that I'm in a really privileged position to get to talk on behalf of like, I'm a fan of the show and I get to sit with you and I get like, because you don't get to say it about yourselves. You and my mom said it before yesterday. You lads are the loveliest people. And like, you can feel, no, but like, I'm not saying this to be like, oh, like lovey-dovey, but like you can feel the love between the two of you all the time through the podcast. And to be honest, that's why they listen, because yeah, you're gas, but it's also just lovely hearing people who really care about each other talking on a podcast.
So, I'm going to be bawling
as well.
No, no, actually, you have to make, Kevin's actually crying.
I'm not crying. Stop saying I am when I'm not. I'm just overwhelmed. You're exactly how I thought you would be. Like, yeah. You just come across so well. And obviously, like, again, shout out to Dervla again. Your parents have done such a great job in raising you. And you know what? Your career is going to fucking skyrocket.
Yeah, like, this is only the start. And you know what I mean? Cannot wait to see where you go after this. It's going to be amazing.
Honestly, it's crazy. It's honestly, and I know you're probably like, because you're so humble and you're so like, because you're stuck inside in this bubble at the moment in lockdown, like, and you know what's going on. Like, it's huge. You know what I mean? This series has been huge.
One thing we do want to ask you before we finish is, because you're such an inspiration out to every young Irish person who wants to go into the creative arts, because you're proof that like an Irish person can go for it and make it, right? And would you have any advice to any young Irish person like wanting to like start something? It mightn't be acting, it might be like doing something just creative, like something off the beaten track. Would you have any advice for them?
I think maybe this isn't the most kind of creative like means of thinking, but I think if you're going to do it, work harder or feel like you're working harder than everybody else around you, because ultimately when the shit hits the fan and the pressure hits, you've got to genuinely believe that you've controlled everything that you can possibly control. And then ultimately you'll be able to deal with the no's and things if you feel like you have worked harder than everybody else around you. I think that's because ultimately, as you guys know, this industry, in any creative industry, there's so many variables. Mm-hmm. Control the things that you can control and work really fucking hard.
That's brilliant advice. And it's definitely something we live by as
well. Control the controllables, work hard and the payoffs will follow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So honestly, like, just to wrap things up, Paul, you've been an absolute gent. I can't wait till lockdown is lifted and Boris Johnson gets his freaking act together. We can see another person and we go for drinks and have a dance. I can't wait till you hit the gay bars.
Oh my God. Oh,
Freedom and Soho. That's where I used to fucking go in. I was doing a play when I did a play in London. Freedom and Soho. That's where we're going.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
The Plowman and the Stars, I'm familiar with your work. I can't wait, honestly. Like,
so thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Paul.
Thank you so much. You've been a pleasure.
You're going to have to help us sign off in true mammy style with the goodbyes. Ready?
You know what to do, babe. Yeah. You're a fan of the show.
Oh, look, I know.
Bye.
That's it. Yeah. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.